Welcome to the Boxing Talk Show, Fair but Firm, with the Hall of Fame boxing referee. I'm Joe Cortez and co-host John Zimmel for all of Las Vegas.
Come on, guys, let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez, Fair but Firm.
Well, welcome to the Fair but Firm Show here in Las Vegas, Nevada, the boxing capital of the world. And my dear friends out there, I can tell you that this past weekend we had some literal excitement. Not that much of a great weekend of fights, but it was decent. It was
action-packed.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with the Quillen fight. Peter Quillen with...
Caleb Truex,
it was just like a fight. It was an accidental headbutt. I wanted to see a good fight because I wanted to see if Peter Quillen still had something left.
Yeah,
it was just so disappointing because it was a mandatory for the middleweight championship. It didn't happen, so
no contest.
It was before two completed rounds. The doctor stopped it because he felt it was kind of a nasty cut. It was down to the bone, he said. And I would see worse cuts than that in boxing, but you cannot overrule a doctor when it comes to safety of the fighter. If he said it was down to the bone, believe me, it could have been some permanent damage, like he said, after the fight. So we got to go along with that. We have to see a rematch down the line, or maybe the sanctioning body will just have Peter Quillen fight for the championship. Who knows?
Just give it to him, yeah.
Because it's going to take a good 90 days to 3 to 4 months to get the cut to really heal. It can heal in the outside, but inside.
Well, Quillen was all right. It was Quillen Truex was all right. That was.
Yeah, but Truex, being that that was a bad cut, it will take him about 3 to 4 months for it to heal. You don't want to go back in the gym and start sparring, getting hit, even though you wear headgear. It'll take him a good 5-6 months before he can get back into the ring.
And that's just one of those things, right? I mean, that's just one of those things you can't do anything about, unfortunately.
Right.
It's a shame. And fight fans, look, I agree. It didn't look that bad to me either. But I'm not a doctor, and I wasn't there. And, I mean, look, to me, what I saw Canelo, the cut over his left eye in the rematch against Triple G, that looked deeper to me. But I wasn't there for that either. Right. I'm just watching on TV, and I'm not a doctor. Yeah, so I have no idea, and I'll trust the doctor in this one. And if he says it's time to stop the fight, then I think it's time to stop the fight. And I think for fight fans, safety of the fighter should be all of our number one concern.
Exactly. So. That's what we're all concerned about. And unfortunately, we feel sorry for the fighter. But I think Quillen will be next in line.
But we had some other good fights even on that card, man.
Yeah.
Derevyanchenko versus Jack Colke was
great
a good fight.
Great.
That was the two guys banging. Now, did Derevyanchenko show you anything that would make you think that he could hold his own with the top guys in the middleweight division?
Yeah, he showed that he has a lot of that. I mean, he retained his championship, and it was 160-pound. It was for the IBF championship.
Yeah, he's the IBF middleweight champion.
Yeah, so he showed he has some skills in there. He'll be there with the best. I mean, I'm not going to say he's the best out there, but he has enough to give anybody a tough night.
Let's think. Okay, Canelo, Triple G. Billy Joe Saunders, I'm just naming. Danny Jacobs, Jermall Charlo. Is he better than any of those guys?
No, he's not better than those guys.
I don't think so either.
But he's in a mix. I mean, he'll give any of those guys a good fight.
And that's one thing that I really want to point out, because sometimes, and we'll get into that a little later when we talk about the big fight coming up this Saturday, but just because somebody, is a little better than somebody else doesn't mean it's not, the style doesn't make an entertaining matchup. And what I saw from Derevyanchenko and Jack Colke is that you put either of those two guys in the ring with anyone, and we saw it also with Andrade versus Colke. They'll make an entertaining matchup. They'll stand there and trade blows and take shots and give them right back. And that was an exciting fight. And I don't know if you guys missed that, but you should go back and watch it because it was fun.
I will go back to the old days when you had Sugar Ray Robinson fighting Carmen Basilio at the middleweight title. I mean, Carmen Basilio got beat, but you know what? It was an exciting fight for the fans. I mean, they gave both of these fighters, Sugar Ray Robinson, one of the greatest, perhaps the greatest of all time.
Very well.
But Carmen Basilio, I mean, Carmen Basilio had a huge swollen black eye at the end of that fight, but you know what? He gave Sugar Ray Robinson a run for his money. So that's the kind of fights we see. As long as you go, one of the top 10 contenders in there, you got something to show. You want to see if you get lucky that night. It can happen. But
and sometimes styles are just exciting. Some guys trade. Some guys bang. Some guys, that's what they do. They want to stand there and trade shots. And I'd watch Derevyanchenko fight Canelo. I'd watch him fight Triple G. I'd watch him fight Jermall. I'd watch him fight any of those guys that I just named.
Yeah, there are a bunch of good fighters out there. And I remember back in the old days again, Emil Griffin against Benny K. Perret. Great fight. But what happened at the end? Perret ended up in a coma, ended up dying 4 or 5 days later.
Oh, God.
But it was a great fight. So this is the kind of fight the fans want to see. But sometimes you say that fight was one of the reasons why boxing has changed around, besides the Boo Boo Mancini and Duke Hu Kim fight. Mm-hmm. They cut it from 50 rounds to 12 rounds. Those fights took around. You know, it takes away from boxing because you don't want to see fighters getting hurt.
You know, so, Boom Boom has come out and said that he thinks that it should go back to 15. He says that that the science has shown, and this is just what Boom Boom said. Yeah. I read it. He's I like what he's doing on the Fox cards now. I like having him there. He's cool. I like his voice.
Well, he's an expert. You know, he's a good mm-hmm. talker. He's an expert commentator. He knows the game. He's been in there with the best, and he has all his marbles, so he speaks pretty well.
Oh, he does.
When it comes to boxing. And he brings back some of the old fights. When he was fighting, it was good, but he was one of the lucky ones.
Oh, yeah.
But
have a take on the 12 versus 15 round debate? Do you think you think 12
is
good?
I think 12 is good. You get enough out of that because the 12 rounds, you see the fighters already.
They're gassed out.
They go three more rounds. We have injuries in boxing.
Easily.
So I say, you know, maybe it's best to keep it at 12. And people are still getting a good fight with
yeah, I agree. Rounds. And, yeah, there are some times where guys come on late and maybe they would have won in 15 where they couldn't win in 12. But 12's the rule. I mean, that's the way it is. It's championship fights. If you can't get it done in 12, then you didn't get it done.
Yeah.
That's so just kind of the way it goes.
Yeah, some of these fighters, you know, they try over and over again. They don't get it. But you know what? Fighting 12 rounds, okay. But, again, like a Tiger Woods. Now, okay, congratulations,
yes, there we
Tiger
go.
Woods.
Congratulations, you know, Tiger
he,
Woods.
He got his
Masters.
He got his fifth Masters. And that was after, what, like 14 years ago?
Oh, it was over 10 years since he won a major.
Yeah, exactly. So here he is. We'll take our hat off to Tiger Woods.
Absolutely. For what a comeback story.
What a great comeback story. And that's what we like to see in boxing. Some fighters come back, like George Foreman, when he knocked out Michael Moore. After he was champion 20 years prior to that, he comes back and knocks out Michael Moore, which I had the honor of being the referee. So those are good, great comebacks. You hear stories like that. George Foreman, Tiger Woods. You know, it's amazing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to also talk, since we're addressing other sports for just a second, I want to give a big shout out to our Las Vegas Golden Knights, up 2-1 in the playoffs, looking good.
Yeah.
We got beat hard in that first in game one. I thought we were out, honestly. You know me, I count them out. I call it right away.
I always give the underdogs a shot. I mean, mm-hmm.
You like Jack Reese, you let it go.
You know, the Golden Knights, they were... They were last year, where they were the inaugural year in hockey,
and
they made it to the finals of the Stanley Cup. That's good. Here they are again now in the playoffs. If they make it to the Stanley Cup again, it'd be great. Hopefully this year they can win it.
I would love that. Okay, you saw Ryan Reeves in that game. He had some big, you know, he had a couple of fights. He had a big fight against Evander Kane. He looked really good, and he put him down. Did that update your pound for pound list at all, or?
Not really. No, it was.
No, he did look good though. I like those boxing fights. You like them?
Yeah. Which one?
The hockey fights.
Yeah, the hockey.
You like those hockey fights?
Yeah, you know, maybe they should bring me in there. I put on a helmet or something.
That would be cool.
I don't know if I could skate. I'd be probably.
Those refs let a lot more go on than you did in the ring.
Can you imagine being ice skates out there? I'd be on my back all the time, taking the full count. All the time.
Taking the full count.
Oh my God!
While we're talking about last week, and I'm excited to talk about last week. That's what makes it fun. Let's touch on a couple more things. That same card, we had Joey Spencer, who's a very highly touted prospect. He's looked real good throughout his young career. We've had him on the show. He's an exciting fighter. He's young for 168. And how'd you feel about his fight this weekend?
I think he could have done a little bit better. I mean, he didn't fight a top-notch fighter.
No, he did not.
Even though he was a veteran, 38 years of age. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was going to put him away early, but he kind of stayed in there with him. He was kind of...
You think he was? He wanted the rounds?
Sometimes,
you know, the prospects, they want the rounds.
He wants the rounds. Sometimes the trainer says, listen, go out there and showcase your style. But he kind of stayed in there, kind of slugged that out with him. He looked a little sluggish to
mm-hmm.
me.
And he was taking shots, too. If he was going up against some of the other, you know, some of the real bangers at 168, those shots would hurt a lot more, you know?
Yeah, I think that... It was a good tune-up fight for him. Let's see what he looks like next time around.
Exactly, and it was nice to know, hey, this is where you are right now.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him put the guy away, but credit to the guy that he fought. He took some hard shots from Joey Spencer, and he managed to stay upright. So I was, you know, he got his mouthpiece spit out at one point, but other than that, he looked, he didn't, Joey Spencer clearly won the fight. But, you know, sometimes you just go up against a tank, and it's just hard to put him away.
I think in the near future, you'll see a better Joey Spence. Going on to the next fight,
What about Jaime Munguia versus Dennis Hogan on DAZN?
Jaime Munguia with Dennis Hogan, it was a very controversial decision.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fans thought that Hogan pulled it out. And I can say that Jaime Munguia got to keep his guards up.
I'm saying.
And go back to that drawing board and be careful because, I mean, this guy Dennis Hogan is no Charlo. Those guys going to get him going to get a tough fight.
No, Benavidez, any other guys. Callum Smith, any guys that, you know, that are, I'm sorry, yeah, you're right, at 154. I get those confused. At 154, a lot of those 154 champions, you're right, Jermell Charlo's and the Herds. I mean, they're a lot more dangerous.
Exactly.
And that's what scares me. So let's say if you're Jaime Munguia's, if you're his management team. Now, he's had 5 title defenses in the last less than a year, which is incredibly impressive. You know what I mean? No question. But at a certain point, people are going to either, you know, give him a mandatory against a guy who is a Jermell Charlo level or somebody like that, or he's going to, you know, people are going to push him for unification against a Herd or some of these other guys. Do you think he should drop his belt like Canelo did with the WBC belt and say, you know what? I mean, because he's only 22. He's not as good as he's going to be. But he also has a world championship title. And if you have a world championship title, you better,
drop his belt and go where?
I don't know. No, I'm saying. I mean, what should he do? Should he fight these other guys? Should he fight the big names? Or
he got to start fighting big names. I mean,
I agree.
But, I mean, he could fight his big names, and most likely he's not going to go.
He's not going to win.
He's not going to pass the test.
Exactly.
I mean, he fought a guy the other night, this guy.
Dennis Hogan.
Who's really never even heard of.
No, outside of Australia.
And you know what? And he gave him a, you say yourself.
Yeah.
We're probably not going to hear about this guy. We didn't even remember his name.
Exactly.
After the fight. Now his name is up there on the top.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It made it, to me, I watched the fight, and it looked more like, it showed more how, like, Jaime Munguia isn't that good than it showed how Dennis Hogan is that good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Dennis Hogan could trade with Jermell Charlo, you know, either. I mean, he just, you know, Jaime Munguia clearly has a lot of answers he has to do. And I, you know what? If I'm Golden Boy, the way I, Ryan Garcia has looked so much better training with Chepo for the last two fights, you know, Canelo's trainer, I'm saying maybe we should put Jaime Munguia up, you know, and have him train with Chepo or some, you know, maybe, I don't want to say a better trainer, but maybe he needs, maybe he needs something a little different. Maybe it's different looks.
Well, he's so young, you got to go to the drawing board. You got fans out there like Wayne and Jane. Hey, shout out to you guys as well. I can tell you that we have in boxing a lot of surprises. I mean, you saw what happened last year to Dog Boy.
Oh, yeah.
And so many other fights. Look at Tyson Fury, what he did with Deontay Wilder. So
boxing changes in overnight.
It can change overnight. I mean, you got Chocolatito Gonzalez with Powerful Pop, the best fighter in boxing. He not even mentioned how
Maybe he'll get an undercard this year if he's lucky. You know what I mean? It's just crazy.
So boxing is crazy. It's full of surprises. It all depends on your conditioning.
Ups, downs, and all
conditioning,
around.
The way you train yourself, what you eat, you know, your lifestyle. All of that takes place. And sometimes when you get to be world champion and you're young and you are getting up there to the top, it goes through your head. Sometimes you have to hang up with the wrong people, a lot of party. And then before you start drinking and doing the wrong things, and you know what? They have a bad night of boxing. It's, oh my God, what did I do wrong? Take care of yourself. Keep your guards up at all times. These guys out there, hungry, they want to take your belt.
Agreed.
So you got to stay sharp at all times. And talking about being sharp, I wonder, how about Cassira Shields?
Yeah. She looked amazing.
Shields and Christine Hammer, who fought a great fight Saturday night. I mean, Shields
neutralized everything Christina Hammer was trying to do.
Well, because Shields was like the hammer.
Oh.
She was hitting it.
She was hitting the whole time.
He was hitting her like a hammer.
She exchanged.
Hammer got hit by the shield.
Yeah, she did.
Shields on the...
Hammer got hit by the shield.
And she didn't get to hurt her really seriously, but, I mean, Hammer did win the first round. But, you know, she was
outside
of that, it was all
It was one of the most dominant performances we've seen all year, and it was against high-level competition.
Yeah,
for you to be able to – I mean, that was similar to what we saw with Errol. But Errol, you know, Mikey had to go up twice.
Yeah.
You know, Shields went down one to meet her in the middle and say, let's bang.
And now she got the unified championship. She got all championship belts.
She got all the belts in middleweight,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she's happy as hell. And maybe now she'll go up to 168.
It's a serious question. You know what? It's something that I've heard other people pose. And a lot of hardcore fight fans might not like this, but I'll be curious about what your take on this is all week. In the UFC, their pound for pound list, it has men and women.
Right.
It includes everybody. Now, after what we saw Clarissa Shields do to the best in her division, the best in her weight class, she absolutely dominated that fight. Is there an argument to put her in the pound for pound list and boxing's pound for pound list?
I think they could put her into that. Why not?
I mean,
she got 2 gold medals for the U.S.
What more could she do to show that she belongs there?
She belongs in there, you know, with a top pound for pound.
Pound for pound's silly anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're comparing heavyweights to minimum weights.
But then again, you fans out there probably, hey, come on. You know.
I know.
They have different rounds. There was only 2 minute rounds, and it's just like golf. They don't compete women with the men.
They don't do that in any sport.
Basketball, no football.
But if pound for pound can be across you know divisions, yeah. And sometimes be across eras. Why can't it be across genders if they show that they're willing to do it? I mean, I'm not trying to put her at number one or anything. I'm just saying, does she deserve a consideration on the list? And I think she does.
Absolutely, I think so too.
I'm glad you agree with me, Joe.
But where do you feel that they get confused?
Yes, please. I want to hear your comments.
How do you get confused thinking that to have a fight against men?
That's not what we're saying.
Not what we say. We say yes, as far as. Pound for pound in the sport of boxing.
Anthony Joshua with Inouye. We're not saying they should get in the ring against each other. We're saying pound for pound, who, you know what I mean? Who is the best in their division at their craft? And I think that Clarissa Shields, after that performance, deserves consideration on that list.
I'm for women in boxing, no question about it. I've done several of them. Muhammad Ali's daughter, Leila Ali.
Yeah, one of the greatest of all time.
And Chrissy Martin.
Very well, could
Laura
be the greatest
Serrano.
Of all time.
I referee all of them. Shape fight. They were all great fighters. You know, but Griselda.
Does Shields have an argument for the greatest female boxer of all time? If she retired right now, is she in that conversation?
She's in that conversation for
sure. I agree with you too. But
then again, she only has about 7 or 8 pro fights.
But she's been accomplished in those nine fights.
Then again, you can say the same thing about Lomachenko.
Yes, you definitely can. He's only got 14.
14 fights, and he's considered pound for pound. Most five fans, the best.
A lot have him. If you don't have him number one, you got him number two. Yeah. Unless you're a big Canelo fan, then you got it. Do you know what I mean? Then maybe you got him third. But other than that.
But you fans out there, you have any questions, you want to
comment
and your input on it, your take on it. You know, like I said, Jack and Joe went up the hill. You know what? Whoever got there first, who cares, you know?
I love it. All right, we have Gilberto Zurdo Ramirez. He moved up to light heavyweight this week, and he put on another masterful performance against a guy we've never heard of, he's done his entire career. Do you think light heavyweight's a good spot for him? He said he was more comfortable up there.
Yeah, I can see him going to light heavyweight.
Do you think we'll see him fight some of the big names up there? You think we'll see even like a Eliezer Alvarez or Kovalev or Gazdik? I don't know how to say that name.
Kovalev would be a good one.
Kovalev would be a great fight to see what both of them have in the tank. I'd love to see him fight Kovalev. And, but Billy Joe Saunders says, either come back down to 168 and fight him or drop your 168-pound belt. Would you like to see him fight Billy Joe Saunders?
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
I'd like to see that, too. I want to see what both of them
have. I'd like to see what happens with that. Then go back down to the 160.
Yeah, and let Zurdo go back up. I think that'd be a fun fight between the two of them.
Yeah.
All right, now let's talk Loma Crawler, biggest fight of the weekend.
Crawler was crawling all weekend for two rounds. That's what it lasted, two rounds. I mean, Jack Reed, the referee, said he gave – a lot of people thought it was
At the end of the third? Yeah.
They thought it was a stoppage at the end of the third.
Because it looked like a stoppage. He was waving his hands out and stepped between them.
But what happened was he said the fight was helplessly rendered on the ropes. Like he sat under a rope of a punch. He felt like that was enough to call it. If you look at the replay.
Call it a knockdown?
Yeah. It was – he sat under a rope. And that's why he called. He said, if it wasn't for the rope, he would have went down. So he gave him a count.
Which is a decently common thing in boxing, right? You were saying there was an example in the Riddick fight that you the Riddick-Bowe fight that you once refereed where you could have done that, but you chose not to.
Yeah.
Up against the rings.
Yeah, it was a call, though. A lot of fans thought, even Lomachenko thought that referee was stopping it. And then it was the inspector jumped into the ring, and Jack Reese thought, no, the fight's not over. Get him out of the ring.
Yeah, we're kind of standing eight.
Yeah, so and then it continued.
He saved him to get through the round, though. I mean, it was the last 10 seconds of the round. I mean, right after that, they went down to ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
And then, Loma comes out and obviously lands that big right hook to put him away.
Yeah. And I thought he was kind of hurt seriously there.
So did I.
But Lomachenko looked, outstanding again. But then again, he fought somebody that really was unknown, even though he was world champion.
He was,
For 2 years.
Two-year world champion,
2016 and 2017, if I'm mistaken.
But, yeah, you're right, 2016 and 2017.
But Lomachenko, hair crawler crawling Saturday.
Yeah, he's
Friday night.
His nickname is Million Dollar Crawler, but I don't know. If I had to value it, I
50 cents.
Joe's like the Pawn Star guys. They come to him and say, "This is a million." It says it's called $1 million. Joe goes, "I'll give you 50 cents for it." But you're right; it didn't look great.
I mean, with all due respect to him,
I understand. No, look, we respect every fighter who's ever stepped in a boxing ring. I want to be very clear.
Anybody goes into our ring, three steps into our ring, you're a champion.
You're a champion. Look, and I want to be very clear. We have nothing but respect. But there are levels to this stuff, and we'll call a guy a bum if he fights like a bum in a fight. And
I don't call him bums. I call him palookas.
Palookas. Yeah. Okay. Well, Joe says palooka. I say bum. But it's no disrespect. If you step in that ring, you step in that squared circle, you step between those ropes, you deserve every ounce of respect, and we give it to you, no matter who you are. It's a dangerous sport. you're putting your life on the line for our entertainment. But there's also levels. There's a reason why some guys are world champions and some guys, you know, have 0-10 records. It's just there's levels to the stuff, and we're going to call them like we see them.
I feel that all boxers need, have due respect for what they're doing. I mean, I've been in there with the worst, and I've been there with the best. And I can tell you that I take my hat off.
Takes the same amount of heart, no matter what.
Yeah, I take my hat off to all of them because it takes a lot of guts and courage and determination. And you as fans, you have a passion for the sport, but I also, as a referee, I have passion for the fighters.
Of course.
When they all clash, you know, you say, buddy, good night. We'll see you next time around.
I agree. You'll do better next time. Would you have stopped it?
Yes.
Me too.
Absolutely. I would have stopped it right there.
Stopped at the end of the third when he was getting his head battered.
Yeah.
I agree.
But you know what?
That's his call.
But Jack Breeze, he had to call. You know, he's a professional, and nobody's closer to the action. Closer than Jack Breeze, and he's an excellent referee, does a good job.
Oh, 100%.
So I go with Jack's call. Regardless.
And you also said in the Tyson Fury Deontay Wilder fight, you'd have stopped that one too. So, I mean, you know, sometimes it helps to, you know, to let it go on a little bit. Sometimes it doesn't. So that's up to the referee's discretion, and we trust him. And Jack Breeze is a consummate professional. We've had him on the show before. He's an absolute pro. And I just, you know, sometimes we're going to call him like we see him. And if we think that maybe he should have handled something a little bit differently, then we're going to mention it.
We were going to have him on the show today via telephone, but he had a commitment with his son, something with school. So anyway, Jack, congratulations. And again, a job well done.
Yes.
And the fans out there, I would think that you are a great referee, doing a great job.
Yeah, he's probably the best in California. He's unbelievable.
We're proud of you. Keep up the good work.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, now...
Moving on to this weekend, man. That was a long recap, but we needed it. There was a lot that happened.
Yeah. This weekend we got, oh, my God. Terrence Crawford. And he's fighting.
Amir King Khan.
I don't call him King Kong because
that's his nickname,
Amir looks more like a movie star. I don't call him King Kong. He's a good-looking young fighter.
He is.
From India. Born and raised in Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
He's a world champ, former welterweight champion. Has a great style. He can move around. He has all the what it takes to be a good fighter. But I think he's seen his better days.
We'll get to that fight. Let's build up to it.
But I still think that he has a little spark of the old flash.
I couldn't agree more. We also have on that undercard, we have the future of boxing on that undercard. Let's not undersell it. We have Teofimo Lopez, who's the most exciting young prospect in the sport, period, right now. You have Shakur Stevenson, who is easily one of the top five most mentioned prospects on the planet right now. You have Felix Verdejo, which I'll let Joe tell you, had more hype than either of those guys combined coming out of Puerto Rico. And then, on the other hand, on a totally other card, you have Danny Garcia fighting Adrian Granados in the Dignity Health Sports Park Arena, or whatever they call it, in San Diego on that same night. So we have a lot to cover right now. Let's start with Teofimo Lopez.
Teofimo Lopez was voted the Outstanding Fighter 2018. Prospect of the Year.
And 2017.
He's outstanding. He looked good. His last fight, he stopped...
Diego Magdaleno.
And
we frequently have on the show. He's excellent.
And Diego said, you know, he's one of the hardest punches I ever faced. And so...
He put him down with those two left hooks that were just miraculous.
So Teofimo Lopez definitely wants to prove to the world that he's one of the best. They're talking about him fighting Lobachenko. Don't try to rush Lopez. He's a young fighter, has a great career ahead of him. No rush.
I got something to say about that, actually. He's the one talking about fighting Lomachenko. Now, there's sometimes people give out mentions as a marination. We've seen that with Joshua Wilder. We see it with Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. They mention each other's names, but you know it's not going to happen. Then you hear things like when Ryan Garcia call out Gervonta Davis. You know that's not going to happen. We know that's like a chihuahua yapping while his owner's holding him. You know, and he's just yap, 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 yap. You know he's not ever going to fight, and he knows he's not ever going to get that fight. Not for a while.
I say a dog that barks so much doesn't bite.
Exactly.
You know, so I mean, what's going to happen is that he's not going to be ready for that. He just tried to sell
it. He's just saying it because he knows that.
He's not going to happen, but he got to sell it. You got to promote it. It'd be 2-3 years out of the line. It'll happen.
But the difference here is I think Teofimo Lopez wants that smoke. I think he really thinks he can beat Loma. I don't think he can beat Loma.
Well, that's good for him to think that way. But, you know, it's not going to happen until the promoters.
For a little while,
And everybody say, Lomachenko people say, yeah, we could take him out, you know, probably kick his butt. But maybe... We should wait. And by them waiting, they're marinating the fight.
What about a situation like what we have with Canelo Alvarez when he fought Floyd Mayweather? Now, yes, he got beat. Yes, he got outclassed, but he learned a lot and he moved on. Could we have a situation like that where Teofimo Lopez kind of gets humbled a little bit?
If they were to fight now, yes. But if they wait 2 years, then I can see Lopez has a much better shot.
Same thing with Gervonta Davis. They both got some real power at that weight class.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about Shakur Stevenson. I like him. He's been learning with Terrence Crawford. They train a lot together. They hang out a lot together. Uh-huh. He's 10-0, and he looks sharp. He's an Olympic silver medalist. You got anything you guys want to say about Shakur Stevenson? He's fighting Christopher Diaz, which is actually a pretty good fight. It's a considerable step up in competition for him.
That's the kind of fight he needs to get you. They got to work it step by step, step at a time. You can't go from here all the way up here overnight. You got to take a step at a time. Are you ready for it? Then you put your foot in a big one. They do it the smart way. He has a great career ahead of him.
I could not agree more, and I'm excited to see. Let's talk Felix Verdejo. You give us our recap, because you're very in tune with Puerto Rican boxing. You write a weekly column in a Puerto Rican boxing newspaper, right? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, right? You write, you go frequently on Puerto Rican radio. You frequently go to Puerto Rico. You are of Puerto Rican descent. You are very in tune with the Puerto Rican fight game. And Felix Verdejo was the next great one, right? That's how he was seen?
He was being looked upon as the next Felix.
Future of Puerto Rican boxing.
Felix Tito tweeted that. They said he's going to follow his steps. I mean, those are big shoes to fill.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, Felix Verdejo had the opportunity as being 2 years ago, being possibly a world champion 2 years ago. He hasn't made the test.
What happened? Let's tell the story.
He ended up getting stopped in Madison Square Garden a year and a half ago.
His only loss.
Yeah, his only loss. But, he wasn't looking good. He got involved in a motorcycle accident.
Yes, there we go.
And since that motorcycle accident, he was never the same. You know, and it was less like trying to come back. And, they were, even Bob Arum, top right, they were flying him all over the place, promoting his fight.
He was
the next rising star.
He had more hype than, like you said, than Teofimo Lopez and Shakur Stevenson.
And what happened was that then top right top said, you know, you should get rid of your trainers, get yourself a new set of trainers, because something is not going right. Mm-hmm. You're not stepping up to the next level. And he's still with his trainer, Ricky.
Well, no, he's got a new guy right now, and his new trainer has been telling him, he's basically said that that he feels like his biggest problem when he lost to Madison Square Garden was fatigue. And he's been working on him with that. Do you think he has a chance to get back to that level, honestly?
He you know what? He got to prove it next week. If he doesn't make it next week, I could say, Felix, goodbye.
Sayonara.
You know, sayonara. You're gonna find
yourself. Adios.
You know, because it got to the point where people are giving up. They lost faith in him. And he's not to talk in Puerto Rico like he was 2 years, 3 years ago. Now we got all the
But they
other.
Still love him. He was still like the prodigal son.
They love him. They love him, but they want to say, those people are real true fans, say he can make it. I've been saying it. He can make it, but he got to get through next week.
By the way, I know fans, I just want to touch on it. We're normally about a half hour. We're really strict. Today we might go a little over. I know you're used to watching us on your lunch break, but you might be able to watch us, finish it over dinner or just watch it at work. Who cares? What's your boss going to say? Tell me you're watching the Fair But Firm show. Tell him he should be watching it.
You know.
Anyway.
We can. This show, you can watch it later on if you have to. If you got to stop now, catch it back when you are home,
or
relaxing.
Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Spotify. Subscribe on Audio Boom. Subscribe. Follow us on YouTube at the Fair But Firm channel. You can watch us anywhere, anytime. So even if you can't fit us all in during your lunch break today, then make sure you catch us later, because we have a lot to cover. And right now, I would like to.
I'm going to ask you guys a favor to please share this station with all your friends. Put it out there. Do me that one favor. I think we deserve to be shared. Put it out on YouTube. Put it out on...
If you like the show.
I know you love the show. Come on. Don't tell them if you like it. That's why they watch
it. I like pretending
really,
like there's people out there that don't like it, because it's the best show in boxing. It's the best.
I don't know, Matt. We're the best.
Undisputed.
I always say we are disputed. That's why we're out there. You know, come on. We're the best, guys. You know it.
The best there is. All right. Let's talk Danny Swift Garcia. He's had a little fall from grace. He had a very tough fight against Sean Porter. And Sean Porter now has had another title defense. So Sean Porter is the WBC welterweight champion of the world. He's living the high life. He's on PBC Boxing. He's got his perm. And then wearing green suits on St. Patrick's Day. He's the man.
Danny
Garcia is fighting across the country on the same night as Terrence Crawford in a fight that most fight fans aren't going to watch, but they should. Danny Garcia is a very exciting, very fun fighter. He was very close to beating Sean Porter. A lot of fans scored it for Sean Porter. For Danny Garcia. And he's going to be fighting Adrian Granados, a guy who, he's lost to Adrian Broner. He's not exactly a world beater, but he's definitely in the mix and he makes an entertaining fight. What do you think Danny Garcia's got to show the world here, and what do you expect to see?
Well, I think Danny Garcia got to showcase what he has left. He has a lot left.
Right.
And on top of that, I want to say, if you're watching Danny, You're a class act guy. You've been a great champion. I like the way you've carried yourself inside the ring, outside the ring. You have a lot of class.
Yes.
And I think you got to show something up next week. You got to show the fans that you are still considered one of the top 10 in the welterweight division.
Welterweight's got a lot of good fights to be made.
You know, which is a very hard division. I mean,
my God, yes.
It's a lot of good welterweights out there.
It's a make or break division, as you can see. I mean, look at how far the margin of error between Sean Porter and Danny Garcia was in that fight.
Right.
And then now look where Sean Porter is, and look where Danny Garcia is. It's a make-or-break division. So I want to see him make that climb back because he's an insanely talented fighter.
Exactly. And fans, don't forget to subscribe on your YouTube channel, The Fair But Firm, Joe Cortez. We really appreciate that. We're going to try to get those numbers high up there.
Yeah, we like the YouTube because you can watch it anytime. You can, rewind, everything like that. It's a little bit different than the Facebook player. So we want to make sure that people are watching it all over the place.
And pass it out to all your veterans, the military veterans out there that want to know what's going on. With the military, we're going to be doing something real soon with the military out there. So you guys are military veterans or have family members been in the military. You know, first of all, thank you all for serving. But I want you guys to also follow us on the show because I will be doing something real soon with the veterans. That'll be a big surprise. Get up to you sometime in the spring. But anyway, please subscribe to the YouTube channel and to the Fair But Firm, the Joe Cortez Show, and get on there on Facebook and put it all on social media. I want to see those numbers double and triple by the end of next week. Take care, guys.
No. We got to talk about Amir Khan versus Terrence Crawford.
Okay, let's.
We got the big fight to talk about here. Amir King Khan versus Terrence Bud Crawford. Terrence Crawford is by, if you don't have Canelo or Vasily Lomachenko as your number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world, then you have Terrence Crawford. I have Terrence Crawford. I think he's the best, greatest fighter on the planet right now. But that doesn't mean discount Amir Khan. When I say Deontay Wilder is the most exciting fighter in boxing, the reason I say that is because you can't blink in one of his fights because he has devastating one-punch knockout power and his fundamentals leave a lot to be desired on the defensive end, meaning anything can happen any second of any one of his fights. Now, if you take that same element and instead of devastating one-punch knockout power, you have blistering hand speed, you have Amir Khan. This is a guy who was an Olympic champion at 17 years old. This is a two-weight world champion. His resume includes Canelo Alvarez. It includes Lamont Peterson, Danny Garcia, Zab Judah, Marcos Maidana. You were the referee. He won that fight. Pauly Malignaggi, Marco Antonio Barrera, Devin Alexander, Lamont Peterson. You name it, he's fought him. His resume is as long and as prosperous as you could possibly ask for. He is everything exciting about fighting because he leaves it all out there, leaves it all desired. He stands and bangs and trades and throws combinations and he's crazy and he fights everyone that's the best. He turned down a bigger payday against his rival Kell Brook to fight the greatest fighter in the world right now, and he did it because he thinks he can beat him. He's Terrence Crawford is a notoriously slow starter. You're going to get a very exciting fight in those beginning rounds. Watch Amir Khan come out looking to trade, looking to bang, and if we haven't sold you on this fight based on the undercard alone, then this should do it.
You fans out there know boxing that Amir Khan has been around. He's beat all those fighters that John just mentioned. Great. But sometimes some of these great fighters, the end is near.
Mm-hmm.
And the end is near for Amir Khan.
Agreed.
Now, he's fighting one of the best in the world out there. He knew that if he fought Kell Brook, he was going to make decent money, but he's going to make three times more with Terrence Crawford. And that's why he's fighting Terrence Crawford. He knows this may be his last shot. So he's going to take a shot. If he wins, amen. Good for him. Good for the Brits. Good for Amir Khan that he's still alive. I mean, look at it. We gave up on everybody. Giving up on Manny Pacquiao. He's number four. He's 40 years of age, and he's still one of the best out there today.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Amir Khan still has a chance.
And like I said, I don't see Amir Khan really having a chance in this fight of winning. But what I do see is this being maybe the most exciting fight that we've seen in a long time. This could very well be the fight of the year. Terrence Crawford is known for being kind of a Floyd Mayweather. He starts slow in that he allows his, he kind of downloads what's going on, kind of learns another fighter's style, and then attacks. And that's what makes this as exciting as anything we could possibly ask for.
Absolutely. Well, anyway, I think that this next week is going to be a great fight. Amir Khan, will it be a Hall of Famer? Definitely be considered for the Hall of Fame in the future. You have to be retired more than 5 years before you're considered to be a Hall of Famer. Anyway,
I've wondered that too. I think he is.
Yeah. Anyway, fans out there, well, just wish you the very best. Thank you for listening in. We catch you next week. Keep your guards up at all times. And remember, not only am I fair, but I'm firm, but I'm always trying to be fair with everybody out there. You guys out there watching, listening. You know what? If you're doing the wrong thing, most chances are you're going to get clipped. So keep your guards up at all times. Protect yourself at all times. And remember, I'm fair, but I'm firm. Touch them up.
Fair But Firm with the Hall of Fame Boxing Referee. I'm Joe Cortez for all of Las Vegas. Come on, guys. Let's touch them up. Three fight. I'm Joe Cortez. Fair But Firm.